Welcome to the Yoga Teacher Business Foundation course, designed to help teachers finally nail their niche, grow their confidence and their business savvy, and generate a consistent income of £2,000 sterling or more a month teaching part-time. If you've found filling your classes and growing your community frustrating, you're in the right place. These podcasts are deliberately designed as bite-sized nuggets of information to help you move from struggle and frustration to a career which is not only emotionally rewarding, but financially too. If there's one thing I've learned from running two businesses over the last 22 years, it's that it's hard being a one-man band. In the last two episodes, I've been diving a little deeper into the whole topic of investing in support for your business, and I really encourage you to listen to those previous episodes if, right now, you're feeling a bit like a headless chicken, rushing around like crazy, but not seeing your business grow. Or maybe you're more like the rabbit in the headlights, suddenly frozen, simply not sure what to do next. I also hope that the previous two episodes have helped you to reflect on how sometimes not investing in support is actually a false economy, with the whole concept of opportunity cost, risking your ability to be able to grow without facing burnout at the same time. You know, there are actually three ways that you can invest in support for your business so you stay sane while you grow that business. First, you can invest in systems and processes. Systems are generally tools or technologies and structures that support the way that you do things in your business, such as your booking and your payment system or your email system. Processes, on the other hand, are the how of your business, the steps or the activities that you routinely take in a given set of circumstances. For example, the onboarding or the welcome of brand new students. How does that work in your business? Is it consistent so that each new student has the same experience? And are you making it the most welcoming and professional experience that you can? And there's a lot more about this in another episode. The second way that you can invest is in people. And this is what this episode is all about. When should you hire and how do you go about it? You know, I'll share some key advice that I've learned over the years about what can feel a rather daunting process. And thirdly, you can invest in your own learning and development as part of your support network. You know, trying to work out how to build a business if you've little or no marketing experience is hard. The truth is, the skills that you're going to need to build a business are not the same skills you need to be a great yoga teacher. And most yoga teacher training courses hardly touch on this at all. And if this resonates for you, you might be interested in a couple of previous episodes on this topic. 8 reasons why investing in a business mentor is a good idea, and the episode entitled The Elephant in the Room at Yoga Teacher Training Courses. So do look those up. Let's focus on the second of these investments in support for your business, investing in people support. Now, before you switch off altogether and think, I must be joking if I think that you have the spare cash to employ someone here when you're barely, if at all, making any money for yourself, let alone anyone else, I want to emphasise right up front, this is the shoestring way to get support in your business. And as I spoke about in the previous podcasts, if you really want to speed up the promotion of a new class or increase your visibility, and you find the tech stuff is not only holding you back, but creating sheer frustration, as it does for me, then paying out, say, £50 to get someone to do something that you're struggling to get done, but which will take away what I call the friction and get things moving for you so that money comes in more quickly, Isn't that worth it? But how do you make sure you get help in the most effective way? I'll deal with tips on where to look for help in the next podcast, but for now, I want to talk about something far more fundamental than that, and that is being skilled at delegating to others. Because if you're not, it's easy to start paying for help, which isn't really doing what you're actually paying for, helping you to grow your business. And one of the first things that I think it's really helpful to understand is you need to be sure that you are delegating and not what I call abdicating. Truth time here. I messed up with this a lot in the beginning with my first business. I abdicated rather than delegated, and it cost me. So what is the difference between delegating and abdicating, you might ask? Well, abdicating is giving tasks to others without proper support or guidance given to them, or managing their expectations about what outcome you're looking for, what result you want. And if you don't do that, you either don't get what you really expected, or the result isn't quite what you wanted, and it feels as though it's been an expensive waste of time. Or it could be both. Delegating, on the other hand, assigns tasks with clear expectations and guidelines and support in place. But the truth is, how can you give guidance unless you're really clear about what you want, what your goals are, and perhaps a little bit about how something works so that you're not having the wool pulled over your eyes? Perhaps the best way to try to illustrate this is with two examples of abdication and delegation in practice from my own experience. First example is getting help with social media. No matter where you are in your journey as a yoga teacher, you'll hopefully have some kind of social media strategy, ways in which you can flag up what you're doing to the right audience and maybe even nurture them a little, get them to join your mailing list or get in touch, make an inquiry. Like any advertising strategy, it's no good just doing it once. You're going to need to be doing this regularly and consistently. So, say you want to be more consistent with your social media posting, but your design scheduling skills are not core skills of yours. Abdicating this would be handing the whole thing over to someone else to write your posts and schedule them and just take the whole thing off your hands because you spend hours on it. Honestly, if there's one thing I absolutely would never do, it's allow someone else to pretend to be me. Delegating, on the other hand, looks like this. Getting someone who can take your content, pretty it up with a nice image, and schedule it all for you. Maybe even send you a review of which posts and blogs or podcasts attracted the most interest. Set up a log spreadsheet so that you can see at a glance what you've done and how well it's worked. What's attracted the most students? That's taking a lot of what I call the back office work off your plate and frees you up to just focus on getting the content done and sent over to them. That's what I do now with these podcasts, like the one that you're listening to right now. I write and record them, and then I send them over to my tech guy who edits, adds the intro and the outro, uploads the episode and the blurb for the episode into Spotify for me. And I get him to hold me to task. The goal between us that's agreed is we do one podcast a week and a deadline for me to have that podcast sent to him so that he can do his bit and have it uploaded in Spotify for that week. It costs me next to nothing, but the sanity and the time it saves me is massive. And meanwhile, I'm building my visibility and my credibility, hopefully. I pay a VA or a virtual assistant to do things like Facebook banners or nice images when I want something fancy. Again, I control the content, They just make it look good and set it up on the tech for me. I also control what I want that piece of content to do. What action do I want people to take who see that piece of content? And if that involves them clicking on a link and opting in and then receiving an email from me, again, that's where I hand over to someone else who can sort out that linking for me far quicker than I can, using technology like Zapier. And they don't mind doing it either, and they're far quicker at doing it too. So, finding a freelancer or even paying a tech-savvy teenager who could do this for you is well worth it. So when I'm looking for someone, I'm really clear about what skills I need them to have and exactly what I want them to set up for me behind the scenes. Now, my second example, where I realise I abdicated in the past rather than delegated, was with Facebook advertising. I won't go into detail here, as Facebook advertising is not something that I'd recommend when you're just starting out or you're simply trying to grow your classes. There are far better low or no cost ways to do that, which will give you a return on your time and any money that you pay. However, passing it completely on to someone else without understanding some basic principles is, I've learned, not a good idea. For a start, anyone who really has the skill to do Facebook ads properly will cost you a lot of money, just like a good copywriter would. So unless you're selling high-ticket programs, which will more than recompense for their cost, it simply isn't worth hiring someone. All advertising should bring in more money than you spend on the advertising itself. And if it doesn't, something needs to change or you're going to go out of business. And believe me, you can spend a lot of money on Facebook ads. And they love it when you do. But with Facebook ads, I've learned there are some things it's at least worth getting your head round first. For example, do you understand how to test your Facebook ads in a way that helps you to get more effective ads where more people sign up? Would you know the best way to set up and test how much to spend, how much to evaluate its success properly? 18 months ago, I'd have answered no to both of those questions. And what I began to realise was I needed to at least understand some basic principles about Facebook advertising before I delegated any tasks to someone else. So what I did was I invested in mentors who could teach me that. I practiced a little myself with those key principles so that I understood them and then delegated what I call the donkey work. For example, embedding the Facebook ad pixel into my website, which would have taken me hours. I tried, couldn't do it, got frustrated. Or setting up the opt-in and the thank you pages, the links behind the scene. Again, what I call the back office stuff is what I hired the freelancer to do, to get the tech niggles that can frustrate the heck out of me, but which someone else can do really easily for next to nothing, to get those done. That way, you're not being blinded by science from someone else. You are still clear about the goals and the objectives of any campaign, and you are in control of the overall direction and spend. The lesson in all of this: do not fall prey to abdication. Always remember, you are the business owner. The direction of travel, your content, your branding should always remain with you. And one thing I've also learned about delegating to other people: there is an added bonus to hiring others that are skilled at doing what you're not good at. Often, they will come up with suggestions from their own skill set and experience that will actually help you achieve your goal quicker or more effectively. Stuff that you didn't even know existed. Let me give you an example here. One VA that I hired to help me with Facebook ads campaign to launch a new program suggested that I try a cartoon video as a visual using a piece of software called RenderForest. I'd never heard of RenderForest before. I looked it up, thought it was a brilliant tool, and used it in the campaign. I wrote the cartoon, she uploaded it, tarted it up, made it look better, set up the links to get people who saw that advert onto my email list and the automatic emails they would get when they signed up. And she also helped me by giving me an analysis of which of the ads worked best so that I could learn from that for future use. I'd have never learned about that RenderForest tool if it weren't for her. Or I might have done, but it could have been years down the line. Can you see that you still fully are in control? You and them still really clear about what goal you have and being able to see if it's actually working, and an opportunity which just shows that two heads are better than one. So, to sum up here, do not abdicate your message and your brand. But could you possibly think of places where someone else could do the back office work and encourage them to give suggestions that might help you achieve your goal faster and better? Overall, trying not to be a one-man band will help you maximize your opportunity for growth, and it will speed that growth up. You are more likely to see money in the bank far more quickly if it's done thoughtfully and as part of a clearly thought through plan. And it's the latter part of that last sentence which matters the most too, because without a plan and a clear strategy, it's easy to spend good money on any kind of support unwisely. And that is what I help with in my mentoring program. So if any of this resonates for you, if you'd like truly practical support and guidance to help you build the foundations for a sustainable yoga business, then perhaps I can help. Over 12 weeks, I help aspiring yoga teachers understand how to build a profitable and part-time business that generates between £2,000 to £4,000 a month, regularly, consistently. Now, I know that's not megabucks, but here's the thing. Once you have a business model that works as well as that, consistently, that you feel reassured will continue to pay your bills, you've got the makings of something that you can scale up, if that's what you choose to do. Or you could keep it as I do, as a nice little part-time income, doing something that is truly rewarding. So if you'd like to know more about how this 12-week mentoring and coaching program might help you, contact me direct at shona@fastmail.com. Seriously, I know I can help. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I hope you find these tips helpful. With over a decade of experience and into my 70s now, I'd like to think that I can help other yoga teachers find a rewarding career teaching yoga. I run a foundation training course in business skills for yoga teachers, designed specifically to give them a solid base and business savvy upon which they can build and scale up if they choose. If you're interested in learning more, drop me a line at shona@fastmail.com. Meanwhile, do subscribe to the podcast. Let me know if you have any feedback or topics you'd like to listen to. And go out there and bring your yoga to the students that you were meant to serve. Namaste.